At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, an action-packed show planned for you guys today. And we pour over some of the auctions, highs and lows, deals, steals, and shameels.
Yeah.
Stuff that went for a lot, stuff that didn't. We'll get into, we're going to drop some knowledge on you. We've got about a big announcement about me and Patrick Dempsey doing a race. Head to head.
Oh, yeah.
Mano y mano.
McDreamy.
We'll tell you that in a second. First, 8sleep.com. Every podcast has mattress ads. There's thousands of them. Only one uses technology and temperature to give you the deepest sleep possible. It's the Pod by 8sleep. First bed to combine dynamic temperature regulation and sleep tracking. Research shows a link between sleep and performance and sleep performance and temperature. Oh, God. I love my Pod by 8sleep, but God, where was it when I was in that San Fernando Valley,
those crappy
ranch houses with no air? It was brutal out there. The Pod reacts in real time, adjusting the temp to keep you comfortable. The stats say it all. The Pod customers fall asleep faster, toss and turn 25% less, and have a 17% increase in deep sleep. Sleep hygiene, man. Such a big deal. I had like a 4.5 hour night the other night and had to do a radio tour. It's like, I was just screwy all day. Get good sleep and focus, people. Right now, get $150 off the Pod and free shipping at 8sleep.com/car. That's E-I-G-H-T, sleep.com/car.
For just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. 2020 is here, and another year of Adam's Monthly Nut is about to bust. This month's shipment includes a Mr. Burcham tape measurer, so you can remember the horrors of the jungle while marking that 2x4. A Wallet Ninja credit card multi-tool. There will come the time you will save the day with it. A sack of Aussie's famous flank steak seasoning, so you can make your meat taste just like Aussie's. And as always, a bottle of your choosing. This $60 value is yours for only $25. Sign up for 1 month or keep the shipments coming. So prep your mail's box and get ready for Adam's Monthly Nut.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the church, but got a mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. It's the name of the show, CarCast.
Matt
Pearl. It's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, over
doing?
There. Lots of stuff going on. Got the Porsche over at the other shop. I have those guys out detailing. Jose's detailing. Well, Jose's not detailing it because when I pulled up, he was just standing out front waiting for the lunch truck. There's a thing that's going on, which
it's
is
9 a.m.
to be fair to him, it was 10:07, but I mean, people have work starts at 8:30, so I'm not sure where the 10 o'clock break comes in, but he's eating a meal. He's out there waiting in a line just out front.
He's a growing boy.
I don't think people quite understand that if you have breakfast at, 7:30 or 8 in the morning and you're having lunch at noon, you shouldn't be shoehorning another meal in between those two meals. But God bless him.
Does he just load up in the morning, you think? Or do you think there's four more meals in the day?
I haven't worked it out. I just know you know, I know I always talk to you about sort of patterns. Like, I can't tell you definitively what's right, what's wrong, what's whatever. But if I say to Matt, hey, we got to come home from Phoenix a day early because I got to do a Castrol shoot or whatever and blah, 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 Matt will go, I'll tell the crew. And then at some point, I'll talk to Matt and he'll go, yeah, there's a problem. And I'll go, what's Brian's problem? And he'll go, well, Brian's daughter's birthday. Yeah. It's I go, well, how did I know it was Brian? that's my point. And yeah. when I pulled up to the other shop yesterday, Roberto and Alvaro, they're always working. They're just there. They're rolling out. They're doing whatever it is.
I talked to you early in the morning. You're like, they're already there. They're already working.
Right. And Ozzy's not there. And then I pulled up randomly at like 9:45 today, and it's like Roberto and Alvaro, they're working. And Ozzy's truck's parked there, but Ozzy's nowhere to be found. And at some point, I like turn the corner and I just see the lights on in the bathroom. And I just said, all right, I'll just see. He's in there for 10 minutes. Like, I just realized there's just some people that work and some people that don't really work. And the people that don't work, they go like, hey, man, I had to use the bathroom. They're like, hey, man. My question is like, how come if I show up 9 random times throughout the course of the day, I know these two guys are always working and I know you're going to be doing something.
Yeah.
And your answer is going to be, hey, man, I was taking a shit. Like, so sue me. And it's like, no, I know. It's just, it accumulates. Mm-hmm. And there's something. We all know the workers and the non-workers, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could tell.
Yeah.
You would know. I would know what you were doing.
Yeah.
I know what Roberto and Alvaro are doing. And I also know what Ozzy's doing. Now,
Ozzy's taking a shit.
I don't know that they know. I don't know that they know it. That's the part. That's the chasm. You know what I'm saying? I know what everyone in my house is going to be doing when I walk in the door. Like,
you don't
every
think
single
Roberto
day.
And Alvaro or you don't they don't notice that Ozzy eats four meals a day and shits 5 times a day? Like, that's
Jose
40% of his day?
Now, Jose's a good guy and stuff, and he works and everything. It's just, it's weird. It's like, it's weird being the boss because I pulled up at 10 a.m. 2 separate times to the other shop. One time, the guy who was supposed to be cleaning Rob's office just sitting in his truck eating a taco. And this time I pulled up and Jose's just standing in the sidewalk. And it's like, I'm just old school. I'm like, hey, man, you're on the clock. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Why are you sitting in your truck eating a taco? Why aren't you cleaning that room? And it's like, yeah, I got, you know, sorry. I got hungry.
Got hungry.
We have to kind of figure the meals out. Like, don't you feel like, as the man who's cutting the checks, I just feel like this meal that we've magically worked in between 8 a.m., I get Sunday brunch.
Yeah.
But not every day Sunday. Like, this notion of I got a meal in between 8 a.m. and noon. I feel like that's a lot of eating going on. And also, as anyone will tell you, I take the cup of coffee, I dump a little MCT oil and some whole cream in there, and I just leave the house. Like, I don't do lunch here. You don't have to. I'm not a hero. I'm saying, like, I'm going to end my day at 4 o'clock and be driving to the warehouse with somebody, and I will have not eaten any meals in that time. You don't need to, as you guys all know from listening to Vinny Tortorich. Anyway, I think that lunch truck, in a way, is kind of insidious because what it's doing is it's taking guys who really don't need that meal in between the meal and like honking that horn and something goes off Pavlovian in your brain. And I know it. Like, I used to work in that world. Like, when that lunch truck would pull up, it was like, oh man, yeah, here we go. And the offerings on that lunch truck were, you know, horchatas and Sunny D and Danish. Mm-hmm. Like, there was nothing. There's nothing that thing's offering that's good.
Right. And you talk about patterns. If the lunch truck pulls up at 10, honks the horn, and somebody's out there, he's going to come back.
Oh, they just do. Also,
if not, he's going to go someplace else.
Your
right?
brain, the way you start getting wired is like you get to work at 8:30 And at 9:10, you're like, where's that lunch truck? Where's that truck? Because, you know, you start getting wired for it. Like, I need my breakfast sandwich. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. Anyway, it's all good in the neighborhood. The Porsche showed up. It looks good.
Did you guys fire it up?
Yeah. Sean fired it up. It fired up. It looks good. It's a good looking piece of car. It's dirty. It's a full piece of car. Like I know it sounds stupid. What I mean is like there's certain cars are like stars in that if you ever come up on, I don't know, Reese Witherspoon or, God, what's her name? Who does the voice on the Family Guy? And,
Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis. I've come up on Mila Kunis, you know, at night from behind in a parking structure.
Yeah.
You know, no, I've been like,
she didn't know you with your mask on.
I've been doing like the Family Guy and there's Mila Kunis, you know, she's waiting around to do the voiceover and I'm showing up to do the voiceover and like Mila's like, you know, flip flops and sweatpants and maybe got a zit or something and, you know, she's not putting herself together to go do a voiceover. And, you know, she's like 5'4 and 118 pounds and there's not much there. You know what I mean? It doesn't like, you don't go like, oh, hubba hubba. You know, there's not a whole lot there, you know? And then there's other women you show up and you go, oh my God, you should see her in person. She's like 6 foot tall or whatever. Cars are kind of that way.
Yeah.
When you walk up, that's why I did the cars and stars.
No, I got you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, I...
You got the connection between
well,
cars.
Well, first I thought you meant space and the stars.
No,
but I was
no.
Just like,
no,
were,
no.
Yeah.
No, but, Mila Kunis is the... She's not the car.
She's the star.
She's cars and stars.
Okay.
So you walk up on a Toyota 2000, like the ones that Shelby was racing and back, you know, the team he took over, whatever, the miniature 240Zs or whatever. You walk up on that car and you're like, there's nothing here. Like,
right.
And you know, you'd see back in the day. Now, I told you this thing was moving down. But back in the day, you'd be at RM at Pebble Beach, you know, circa 2016.
Yeah.
And you'd walk up and it'd be like 800 to a million on the estimate on the windshield. You'd be like, there's nothing here. There's no car here. Like,
where's the rest of it?
No, I mean, I get, where's the beef? Like, I get it if you go, this one was the only Japanese car that ever won the Tour de France or whatever. No, this is just a street car. And you kind of walk up and you go, whoa, there's not a lot of car here.
Yeah.
Where's the rest of the car?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's funny because then you would walk up to a Lambo GT 400 2 plus 2 or GT 350 or something like that. And you go, this thing's got 12 cylinders and knockoffs and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And you go, I mean, back in the day, you'd go, this thing's, you know, 375, 400 or whatever. This thing's $1 million? Like, no way.
Yeah, it's got half the engine.
Right. And then at some point, now the Toyotas, those things are probably under 5 now.
Yeah, they and took a little bit of a hit.
You know, the GT350s are probably above 5. So those kind of things where you go, look at this and look at that. They will correct.
Yeah.
It corrected.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of that, too, coming from the auctions this past week. Some corrections up and down,
right.
By the way.
Right.
But pretty interesting week, and you know, I'm not there for the whole week. But there's a lot of auctions out there. There's Bonhams, there's Russo, there's Leak. There's
I don't know what Leak is.
Is the new one.
Mm-hmm.
I think the former Barrett Jackson guy went over there and started something. I usually swing by RM. I go to the RM preview on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I do the Gooding preview Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And Barrett Jackson, usually in the afternoons of those days, because RM and Gooding, they typically bring cars up on the auction block. And when they're done, they're kind of hidden in the garage someplace. You don't get to see them anymore. So the preview days are kind of the only time you get to see them.
Mm-hmm.
Barrett Jackson, you can see the cars all the time. Even when they're sold, they put them all back on display because there's so many cars. They got no place else to put them except put them back in the row.
Right.
Saw some interesting cars, saw some pretty good buys, saw some big numbers. Over at RM, we'd have to look at our Hammer Price app, but there was the red Lamborghini Miura with the engine swap.
Yeah, that was an SV.
And the interim car, the 350 GT interim car.
Yeah, which they call a 400. So it had the 4 liter in it instead of the 3.5. But did have that kind of twin headlight, which I don't like as much as the single bulb, you know?
Yeah.
And the SV all in was like 1.4 or something, which was
one,
really light.
1.391 all in on the SV, and the interim car was 6.10 all in.
Yeah, so it's a good price for an interim car. Later on, a Miura S went for like 1.2 and change all in, which was a nice car. So my point is a Miura S and a Miura SV shouldn't be that close, but a really nice documented restoration, you know, two owner, whatever, S and a kind of beat on questionable engine swap SV will come in about, evidently will come in about the same price.
1.242 for the S at, right. And that was at Gooding.
Right.
Yellow, though.
Kind of once in a while they pull it off. So there's a lot of, you know, for us, we've been noticing, obviously, there was a Z car. Now, I'm saying Z car, but it was the Z car with the 2 liter and the twin cam engine. There's nothing better. By the way, the best part about the twin cam engine is always the head and the valve cover and the spark and the wires going down the middle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But one of those sold at a Japanese auction. Somebody tweeted me, it was 806, I think. It was like 800,000. Yeah. It was over 800,000 for a Japanese car. Now, people go, well, they only did 30 to 50 of these. And it's like, yeah, I know, yeah, but still that's still 800 grand.
It's not three.
No, it's a Z car with a, you know, Z interior, Z exterior. It's like a Z car with the 2 liter twin cam. I mean, basically it's, and you know, the engine's not putting out more than 145, 150 horsepower. Right. It's not like some big souped up, you know, or maybe they have the thing tweaked. Maybe it's like a triple Weber situation in a header. But even then, 170, you know, 175, like maybe. I mean, like you can take a single cam 1.6, 1.8 L motor or L motor from one of my 2.4 from a 510 and get 221 horsepower out of it if you want.
Well, the other thing we noticed that a few of these cars have popped up over the auctions over the weekend and even on Brinker Trailer is the cookie cutter Z car is it's not a $5,000 or $7,000 car anymore. It's a $20,000 car. You know,
it's 20. Well, you know, I would say 20 plus because a 280Z, not a 280ZX, but a 280Z, which ostensibly is just on the 240 platform. You can see the bumpers were a little different. Mm-hmm. Something with the, I don't know, tail lights, you know, the sort of rack in the back where the tail lights, you know, the reverse light wasn't integrated into the whatever.
Yeah, just okay.
A couple little things got kind of the crappier bumpers and stuff like that. A 280Z 2 plus 2, which is like, the worst configuration for that car.
Yeah.
That is the worst combo. I think once, and it was like brown, it's over like 28 grand.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like a chunk of change. Like they used to be able to get, you know, a used NSX for 28 grand. You know, this is junk and it's 28 grand. So, I mean, the point is we're at that, and I think you showed me a 280.
The blue one.
Yeah, but that was a 280. That wasn't a 240. And that was like all in like 23 or something. These cars formerly had no value.
The Japanese cars are definitely, you know, they're creeping up there. They're not gangbusters. But anything from S2000 Hondas and the Z cars, NSXs, they're all creeping up. And, you know, by the way, some Integras a few of these cars are going up.
I've said this for years because I've always loved this car, but I've now more than ever get a 2000 Roadster Datsun, get like a 68, or 9 or whatever, just get a 2000 Roadster. Those cars are fun. They work.
Yeah.
And they just keep moving along.
Yeah.
I mean, they, when I was telling you guys to get them, you know, back when, they were 8 to 10 grand, and now they're probably 30 to 45 or something.
Yeah. But it's still considered an entry level investment car in the world of investment cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and also something you can have a little fun with as well.
You can have a lot of fun in that car. I've had lots of fun in
when the Rolex Cup.
Did it come with a watch?
Yeah.
No. Oh.
You didn't even get the cup.
Oh. Ooh, you're fucking a model. Yeah. Did she come with a watch? No.
No.
Oh. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, that's got to sting.
Yeah, jeez. Yeah, the watch would have been nice.
It would have been nice.
The watch would have been nice. Yeah. I heard others got a watch.
They should give a fucking plastic symbolic watch when they give out that goddamn Rolex Cup. Now, the Rolex Cup's nice itself. It's like a big pewter cup. It's a good-looking trophy, but they should give you a fucking plastic, like they do, like, I don't know, at events and stuff where they give you like the little shitty version of the, you know, whatever the tchotchke is. Because I think anytime I ever told someone I won the Rolex Cup and the BRE 2000 Roadster, they go, "Did it come with a watch?" And I would just go, "Yes, yes, it came with a watch." And that would be it.
Yeah.
They would probably ask which one, and then I'd say it's the plastic piece of shit one.
Yeah,
that sell.
Yeah. But I came with the symbolic
But I could say it came with a watch, because there is no such thing as you telling somebody, "I won the Rolex Cup in that car," without them saying, "Did it come with a watch?" They don't say, "Good for you," or "What year," or "What car were you driving," or anything. They just go, "Did it come with a watch?" And you go, "No." And they go, "Oh, that's rough.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go." That's how it works. People have horrible wiring. They really do. They really should be going, "Oh my God, that's awesome. What do you mean? How'd that work?" I said, "What do you mean you won the Rolex? How many other cars were in that race?" 44 cars were in there. "And you won the Rolex Cup?" Wow. That is nifty.
Yeah. You didn't get a watch, though.
When I was doing the car show for the Mant Brothers, I kept having this fucking weird conversation where I'd go, "Hey, we should do a bit, you know, on that Roadster, you know, won the Rolex Cup in that car."
Yeah.
And they'd kept going, they'd go, "Yeah, it's awarded for the car, you know, it's about the car." And I go, "Well, it's about the car, but it's also about the drive. You have to pass some cars, you know." And they're like, "Yeah, it's about the car."
It is a race. It is a competitive event.
I kept saying to them, "No, they factor in the car, and then they factor in how you drove the car."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Yeah, it's an award for the car." I kept going, "I don't know why this is a very..." By the way, I should introduce you to my mom. You guys would be awesome together. Like, I don't know why we're going to keep going down this road. Yeah. It feels weird that I'm defending me, but I passed a bunch of cars.
Maybe they've never seen a car race before. They're only producing an automotive show.
God, so glad not to work with those guys. So awesome. God, all I did was argue with them about cars that they didn't... Ugh. It's weird. It's a weird career. Just arguing with people who don't know what they're doing. All right, let me tell you about... I'm trying to think, like, Matt.
Yeah.
You've known me for a long time.
Yes.
Have we ever had arguments where it's like, I just don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, and you just keep coming back going, "Hey, you're not listening," or "You're not understanding," or not, and I just go, I'm staying right where I'm staying, arguing about shit that I'm wrong about.
No, never happened.
Has it never happened?
No.
You can coach me up, but I'm not going to just... I'm fucking standing my ground, and I'm going to argue about shit I'm fucking wrong about. Do you know how many people those are? I fucking argue with Neil Mann all the time.
All
just
the
being
time.
Super wrong about... He had no fucking idea what he was talking about, and he would just argue and argue and argue.
Yeah, he just didn't want to listen.
I think that's part of being wrong, like you don't know it.
He knows it now.
I'd have to get in the fucking car,
he doesn't know
and it's
it
such
now.
A waste of my life.
Yeah.
God,
I went to that. To that shoot.
When I was pitching him the bit about getting drunk and driving, he just couldn't get it. He just
wasn't getting it.
He wasn't getting it. Yeah. All right. Anyway, thanks for wasting, I don't know, a couple hours of my life.
I was there. I felt wasted.
You know, it's weird. It's like, I like those guys. It was just, they had the wrong take on a few things and they didn't know what they were talking about.
Yeah.
And I at some point, you got to go like, okay, fine, do it your way or whatever. What does that dig in?
The bit was about comedy, cars, and drinking.
Right.
And I think you kind of nailed all those.
Check all those boxes. It was a simple premise. The simple premise was, we're going to go to this cordoned off, you know, parking lot, put the cones in and put the cones everywhere.
Yeah. Flat track, like autocross course, kind of very simple, cones flat, easy to see.
We are going to get the California Highway Patrol to like show up with their breathalyzer and their stuff. I'm going to do shots of vodka until I blow like a 0.14 or something. Like I was way over the limit.
Yeah.
And I was just hanging with the cops, you know, just drinking with the cops, which is funny.
And it's funny having the cop literally like pour the drinks for, and hand it in uniform going, here you go, sir, have another.
Right.
He's the bartender.
Right. And then I'm going to get in the like stock Camry. And I'm going to see if I can complete the obstacle course in a better time than like the soccer mom, the old man
yeah.
and the teenage driver.
Can Adam Carolla drunk drive better than most people do normally? That was the entire bit.
That was the bit. And so when we got there, the producers were like, right, the soccer mom is distracted because kids are in the back. The teenager's distracted because they're tuning the radio or they're texting. And I was like, no, they're not doing anything. They're trying to beat me. I'm the one who's drunk. They're trying their hardest. And it was like, right. So the old man is trying to work his phone. And I'm like, no, you're ruining the concept of the bit. If they're distracted, I'm at a deficit because I'm drunk. They can't be at a deficit because they're distracted. It's not an experiment otherwise.
Yeah. They're adding more variables to this.
Well, it's not only adding more variables, you're ruining the experiment.
Yeah,
It's like saying, can this man beat this horse in a 50-yard dash? Okay, so the man has a cast on his leg. It's like, no. Okay, so there's a fat guy on top of the horse, right? No. Can the guy do this? Okay. So we give the guy a head start. Like, no. This is what we're doing.
It was so difficult to
express that we literally had to go sit in a car and shut the door and argue
I remember that exactly.
At a certain point, I was like, I don't have any more breath in my lung. It's embarrassing doing this in front of everyone. We must go in the car and just shut the doors.
And by the way,
Christ, what do you do for a living? This is what you do? It's a good bit. It's a great bit. Never aired because once you fucking make them do it your way, they go, oh, fuck it.
The result was, by the way, was they still had to, they couldn't do an apples to apples test. They said, oh, a rabbit has to run across the road. So they took like a stuffed rabbit, put it on an RC car. And had it drive across the track. I was like, yeah, but now it's not equal playing field with everybody. So just make the course all the same and then let the funny happen with the drunk guy driving the car, right? Like, ugh. I don't know. It was.
I spent so much of my adult life talking to other adults about, no. Here's how it's got to work. You listen to me. I don't know what it is with everybody. Hey, listen, if you're not good at what you do, that's fine. Just fucking know it, would you? So I don't have to argue with you all the time.
It was such a good bit, too. We must have run down like 10 bits. It was such a good bit.
Yeah.
And it took longer to get you drunk than it thought. So as we're there, you're just talking and ranting, and the cop is laughing, and the crew is laughing, and you're just taking shot after shot. The cop's like, we're going to need another. It was just like, it was fantastic. Yeah, we should find that footage.
Anyway, Jesus fucking Christ. It's such a waste of my fucking life.
Yeah. Anyway,
ugh.
What do you got?
All right. I'm going to talk about Butcher Box. Oh, man. I had the salmon last night.
Oh.
Olga made the salmon. She did it with like a teriyaki glaze, you know, put it in the oven.
Oh, yeah.
Got it all browned up. You know, it's weird. You don't think of like cuts of salmon. But when she pulled that offering out of the oven, I was like, there's the chunkier version of the salmon. It's like longer and thicker, and then there's this sort of flatter kind of fillet looking whatever. And I was looking at those bad boys. I was like, which one do I want? I got that salmon up in there. Everything Butcher Box does is great.
I gotta do this. I scrambled some eggs.
Oh no. High quality meat sent right to my house. No antibiotics, no hormones. Each box comes with between 9 and 11 pounds of meat. Enough for 24 individual meals. Free shipping anywhere in the U.S. No commitment. You can cancel anytime. Offer, here you go. 2 pounds of ground beef and 2 packs of bacon. Free. Plus, $20 off your first box. Go to butcherbox.com/carcast. Butcherbox.com/carcast. It is so good.
Yeah.
All right. So what else?
Well, there was a couple of interesting buys and sells at the auction I wanted to touch on real quick was, at Monterey, we saw the market overall down about 30%, some of the high-end collectibles, and some of the things that were moving recently settled a little bit. One that kind of stood out for me was the Porsche 911 Turbo, the 993, sort of the last of the air-cooled cars. Mm-hmm. It was a black-on-black turbo, looked good. And an estimate is somewhere in the 180 to 200 range.
Mm.
And hammered like 130 something, I think all in about 150,000.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's just a correction in the market. That's what the price should be. But several of these were selling at $200,000 not long ago.
Sometimes it's tough to go buy one car that kind of slides through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to put a couple of sales together. It doesn't always mean everything. Every once in a while, there's one of those like BMW Z8s or something that just kind of slides through the cracks and goes for 50 grand less than the other one did across the street.
Oh, yeah. And I've seen that in real time. One at Gooding and one at Barrett.
But I also, by the way, every single one of those BMW Z8s is in exactly the same condition.
That's it.
I've never seen one that's a little rough or one that one's done up to the nines.
Yeah. Is it silver? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, silver. They're all exactly the same.
Black interior, the nice one's the red.
There's one I have forgot. I hadn't brought up to you. I'd brought up a lot of the sales. I look at the sales. Matt looks at sales. And then we gossip as I take my dog for a walk about what's up and what's down and blah, blah, blah. There was one car that I think sold big that you and I have some relationship with. I don't know if you can guess it, but it was a purple Vector.
Yeah.
And as Ken Lingenfelder brought his
Vector.
Purple Vector to Pebble Beach.
He brought it to RM Auction.
And it had, I don't know, a 3 to 4 estimate or something, somewhere in that range. It didn't sell.
Mm-hmm.
This Vector sold for like 5 or 6 or something. Like sold for a high amount. And I don't know why. I don't know what the difference between this purple one and that and Ken's and
The purple one.
$650.
It sold at RM just this week?
Estimate $300 to $450. Like, that's a...
RM.
Let me school you kids up.
It was a V8 car.
Okay, but let me school the kids up. I know Ken's had the V12 Lambo engine.
He did.
But here's the deal. When you see an estimate on a Vector, a purple Vector, for between $300 and $450, and you're interested in that car, you're hoping for about $275, $280.
Mm-hmm.
You're not thinking $650.
Yeah,
but that something happened. I don't know what happened.
I don't know what
Ken brought his Vector. Yeah, it was 3 or 4, and it just didn't sell. It probably got up to like $225 or something.
I don't remember what it was. We can look it up on.
Well, look, he brought that thing from Detroit.
Yeah.
To Pebble Beach. He was looking for 3 to 4, and he brought it back. Brought it home. So he didn't get to 285.
No.
Something happened. I mean, it just didn't get close to. I don't think he'd bring that thing home if you get to 285. You get in a back room, you work it out, you don't take it home.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know what the deal with the Vector and the 650 was.
I don't know either. I saw the car. I looked at the car. I saw the placard in the window. I don't recall anything particularly special, but maybe there is something in the description on it. And maybe just right time. You know, all it takes is two people in there to do it. But
Ken's high bid was 120.
Yeah.
Estimated 250 to 3.
250 to 3.
Also purple one.
Yeah.
And his was a W12?
Yeah. He had a, like a Diablo engine or something
I
in
think
his.
He did.
But there are fewer Vectors with Lambo engines.
Yeah, and this one had that the V8, like basically the Chevy-based.
Turbo? Twin turbo.
Yeah. Ken's was powered by a Lamborghini 7-liter V12 engine, just 6,000 miles from new. Number 5 of only 14 examples built.
Yeah, his is badass.
What kind of world is this? I don't want to bring my kids up in a world where a purple Vector goes to Pebble Beach and clocks out at 120.
No.
At 120K.
Not one with the NASCAR engine sells for three times
then
as much.
Then you bring the purple Vector to Phoenix and it goes for 650?
Yeah.
What's going on?
I don't know. Somebody shouldn't tell Ken, though.
Betty figured it out. Yeah. That engine, I believe, is a twin turbo in those Vectors.
Yeah.
That would be my
I think so. Mm-hmm. Here's a car that didn't do well, and then I've got one that did do well. In the world of new cars, when you're getting on the list and you're waiting and you're doing your deposit and you're filling out your applications and trying to get on the list, the McLaren Senna, which people thought would be free money. You know, you buy whatever, you wait your 2 years, you do your thing.
It's a W8 twin? I don't know. But anyway.
They call it a W8, but
it's a V8. It's a V8, but it's a twin turbo.
It's a twin turbo.
Right.
It's like Chevy-based engine. It's like a Chevy. I think it's a Donovan engine. It's like maybe a sort of a stock car.
Yeah. Okay.
Platform.
Sorry. Keep going.
The McLaren Senna surprisingly didn't do as well as everybody thought. These cars were $1 million. People thought they can flip them for, you know, after the waiting period, flip them for, I don't know, 1.5.
Well, they were about $1 million stock?
I believe so. Gooding, I think, had one. RM had one, which was no sale at $1 million. And then Barrett Jackson had one, which was no reserve, and it sold all in at 946. So the hammer was, I don't know, 830 something. Mm-hmm. All in at 946. And actually, your friend Peter Klute bought it, put it in the Legendary Motor Cars showroom.
Yeah.
And along with, I don't know, almost 15 or 13 more cars, anything up there that was selling like it was looking like it was a good deal, he was basically scooping up. Through his business and putting him up there. But I think a lot of people were expecting the Senna to be a significant pop, you know, the way Enzo and LaFerrari was. And it didn't get there.
Well, I mean, if you'd had 2 years ago, if you'd been able to buy a Senna versus a Ford GT, you know, they had that, you know, book, Eat This, Not That. We should do one called Buy This, Not That.
You should, because that was the other car that I was going
to
say.
If you'd been able to get a Ford GT, well, sorry for stealing your thunder.
No. But the Ford GTs were estimated, people were buying them for between 5 and 6. Let's call it 550, 580, somewhere in that range. The estimates were like 750 to $1 million, and those cars were selling 115, 125, hammer price, maybe 13, 14 all in. I mean,
so if you bought one car, you paid 6 and you made $500,000. If you bought the other car, you paid $1 million and
you lost $100,000.
Or you just kind of flatlined
or, you didn't sell
or
it.
Whatever.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or you didn't sell it. But yeah, it was kind of interesting to see. I heard a little rumor that somebody tried to bring a 2018, which technically, so the Ford GTs, as you guys know, there was a list to get on them. There was allocations of 250 a year for 4 years. The first allocation was the 2017. And when you bought it, there was a 2-year agreement to not sell it. And that's the whole John Cena debacle and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So the first allocation of 2017s were able to be sold. Mm-hmm. And I guess either the second allocation or what might have been technically an 18 tried to go up for auction. I heard Ford got wind of it, called the auction house and said, no bueno. And
really?
They either worked something out or they pulled it. So Ford's on the ball with wait your turn. kind of thing.
Trying to think who'd be good for that job.
Yeah, I don't know.
I wouldn't be good. I was bad. Like when I used to teach comedy traffic school, and they'd always go, if somebody shows up 10 minutes late, they stay during lunch and work on traffic stuff. And then they go, and if they show up 15 minutes late, they got to stay after, whatever. And they show up 20 minutes late, you send them home.
That's it.
People walk in 2 hours late. I just go, sit down.
Yeah.
You know why?
Slip me 20.
What do I give a fuck? I don't know who these people are. Like, and also this, I could get fired from what? My piece of shit job? All your fucking jobs. Ironically, the jobs you could get fired from are shit jobs.
Yeah.
The fucking CEO of Nabisco doesn't say that. Like, I get fired for parking my car in this someone else's spot. Like, he doesn't. Yeah. So if you could get fired for doing something minor and stupid, you have a shit job.
You have a shit job.
That's how it takes care of itself.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you guys should clean your office.
Meanwhile, clean your office, clean your everybody. Office. All right. Let me hit Bet Online NFL Weekly Pick'em Charity Contest. Now we know who's in the Super Bowl. We can take a week off and get ready for the big game. Visit.
Do we know? Do
I
know?
Oh, I do. No, you don't know. I do.
Chiefs.
You're a car guy.
Chiefs?
That's Chiefs. Chiefs.
And
San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Car guys don't know sports.
49ers.
That's right.
Nailed it.
And
nailed it.
Sports guys know nothing about cars. I don't even know what's worse. Like you and Sean and your lack of interest in team sports, or if you get hold of Sal and Bill Simmons, they know nothing about cars. Nothing.
Yeah.
Like it's a two-way street.
It's better to be on this side.
I am the only one who happens to know everything about both. But that's just me.
Yeah.
Bet Online, take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use the promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. They have a weekly $500 rewards to give out to 5 listeners, and then there's a season-long $5,000 charity contest, and you can shoot them a hashtag or shoot them a tweet. Tweet at hashtag SportsNet. Challenge and NBA on there as well. And you can bet on anything at Bet Online. All right, Bet Online, your online sports book experts. All right.
Before we wrap it up, do you want to just quickly talk about this Carolla versus Dempsey?
Oh, yeah.
And the world championship of heavyweight title drag racing?
Drag racing.
Drag racing.
Yeah.
So when we were in Vegas at the SEMA show, there was an offer put out there by the guys at K&N Filters, and they said, how about Carolla versus Patrick Dempsey in a drag race? There'll be a little bit of a training session, and you'll walk away with your NHRA license.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow this actually is happening.
I was like, Patrick's never going to go to Pomona for like 2 days and slum it with me. I don't really look at myself as anything, much less a celebrity. So it's like if you ask me to do something or you put something on the calendar, you go, this is cool. Like if somebody, like if Matt said, Matt the Porcelain Punisher, if Matt the Porcelain Punisher said, there's a guy from Cleveland, he's a big fan, he wants to come by in 2 weeks and look, bring a son and look around the shop. And then afterward, he wants you and him to pick up garbage by the side of the freeway in that back street there.
Yeah.
I'd go, yeah, okay, just put it on the calendar. Do a day where I'm not that busy.
Yeah.
And that's about it. That's how I roll. I just go through life. I'm talking to Matt the other day. Like I'm going to the comedy store at 10:30 at night. And he's like, oh, you got a radio tour at 6:30 tomorrow morning. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm not like, no way, I'm not getting up or cancel it or whatever. I talk to people, celebrity friends, where I'm like, hey, come over and do the podcast. They're like, yeah, I don't go to Glendale.
I don't go to Glendale. Like I'm allergic to it.
It's like
I break out in hives.
I drive the comedy store every night from La Cañada. I don't, okay. So I just go, okay. But I'm also like, yeah, I'll say yes, but Patrick Dempsey's not doing it.
Patrick Dempsey's doing it.
So what are the parameters?
You guys are going to go down. You're going to go down on like a Wednesday. You're going to do some training with the NHRA guys and in a sort of the rail dragster, the pro comp, super comp. And I forgot exactly. It's probably probably running some big block Chevys, probably, I don't know, 750 horsepower.
I reckon we'll be right about 200 miles an hour.
I hope so. I mean, these things can scoot along pretty good, depending on how much they turn up the wick. Basically, if you go to the Holly drag racing school, it's essentially those.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess Saturday in February, maybe during the big NHRA Pomona weekend.
Some go, some blow.
That's it. Mm-hmm. And you better go. You better not.
I'm going to blow.
Let the McDreamy beat you.
I've never done anything like this at all in the world of motorsport. I'm pretty relaxed. I kind of trust the technology, so I'll just do what they tell me to do, and I will not lift. I mean, I'll go for it. That's for sure.
I will tell you that the past couple of years, Goldberg and I have gone out with a couple of the Hellcats and the Red Eyes and the stuff and drag raced a few, and we raced Pomona, and it's an exciting exciting track, and there's a big audience, and it's fun to do. We raced in Detroit as well.
Oh, I think there'll be an audience there.
I think it's going to be during the NHRA
Winter Nationals?
Yeah.
What is it? Is it Winter Nationals February 7th?
NHRA Winter Nationals is February 7th or 8th. And real quick, I'll tell you guys a little bit about Geico. Maybe you own a home or you rent a home. Either way, it can be some work. That's for sure. It can be hard work. But you know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. So just go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. When's the Winter Nationals?
February 6th through the 9th.
There you go. It's that weekend.
Well, this is on the 7th, so we're going to miss it. If you said 6 and 9. Jesus Christ, we're going to be doing this in front of 25,000 people?
Who will be judging. Judging.
You
super
can't
judgy.
Judge me.
Super judgy.
Only I can judge me. And don't hate me because I'm beautiful.
It'd be fun. It'd be fun to do. I think you guys will have a good time. Bring Sonny out there. Sonny's never gone to a drag race, right? He's never gone to NHRA.
That guy holds his fucking ears when I talk. I can't imagine what he's going to be doing if he's fucking anywhere near that drag
show. You have no idea. We gave out tickets to racing and backstage to, basically in the pits with the Jegs crew. And you feel it when those cars launch over your entire body. You feel it in your eyes and your chest. It is fantastic.
Mark my fucking words. I'm not showing up there and grabbing a pair of foam earplugs and walking around the fucking pits. I'm showing up with fucking military grade fucking headsets. You walk through those fucking pits. They just fire up those dragsters. You don't know it. It's like nobody fucking blows a whistle or anything.
No,
they
there's
just
no fire,
fire
in the hole. They
and
just
you
do it.
Fucking, you'll jump out of your skin.
And that's just that idle. When you get to the front row, or if you get to walk on the track, and those two cars launch, it's amazing. Like you cry from the nitro and the sound, and it's the craziest thing.
I'm goggling up. And I'm putting the fucking head. I'm putting the muffs on, man.
You can put the foam earplugs and then the cans over there.
The beauty is like when I say to my son, I'll say to him, I'll go, I'm going to go to Pomona in front of 25,000 people and race Dr. McDreamy, a 200 mile an hour drag race. You want to go? And he'll be like, I don't know. What day? And I'll go, Saturday. And he'll go, I got a basketball tournament on Sunday. And I'll go, yeah. We're going to leave.
This is still
on. What time do I have to leave? Oh, pretty early. Well, like what time? It's, Jesus fucking Christ. Can you imagine this conversation with your father? I couldn't get my dad to buy me a fucking plastic basketball. Like, these are big deals. It's a big deal to fucking walk to the mall and walk through the poster store and look at the posters. There wasn't any buying of any posters. I was like, we could walk through the poster store and I could see the cat with the hang in there, or a hot chick in a bikini or CZ Rider guy doing a fucking half a cross up. You ever seen CZ Rider?
Yeah.
It's a guy's doing half a, this guy driving a fucking CZ's about, he's got about 18 inches of fucking air under his back tire and he's doing a weak cross up, not a pancake, like a weak cross. Okay, put it on a poster. That's what we had. Jesus, goddamn Christ. Yeah, you know, there's Easy Rider, but there's not, there's CZ Rider. Yeah, upper right is CZ Rider. This was our form of entertainment. You had it, Max Zapata. You had CZ. You clicked on it. It was a guy with 2 foot of air. The jump was 3 feet high.
Yeah.
The guy had 2 foot worth of air under him, and he was doing half a cross up.
Yeah.
That was as much as we had.
It actually looks like he's a mistake. Doesn't even look like he's going to. Now it would be a backflip with no arms and legs, just using your crotch to hold the bike.
Full Superman upside down, 45 feet. This guy's got 31 inches of air. And we're like, yeah, that's a poster. And by the way, my dad was like, you're not buying that poster, but you can visit it.
You can come and look
You can go
at
visit it.
It.
We treat this poster store. We treated every store like people treat the fucking zoo.
It's like a museum. Like,
you're not coming home with the animal.
Yeah, that's the Getty.
You go look at it. Just fucking Christ. Now I'm going to go fucking down to Pomona and drive a rail. My son's going to be like,
Yeah.
Now my daughter, I'm not even going to ask because she's going to be like, nah. Not down. All right. Let's see. Milwaukee, Pabst Theater tonight. I'm doing stand-up. Chicago sold out, so sorry, folks. We're going to be eating some goddamn pierogies, Max Pata. That's for damn sure, man. Cleveland's coming up. Indianapolis is coming up. St. Louis is coming up. Just go to amcroll.com. And Uppity's available now. And Shelby American, all that stuff at Chassis, C-H-A-S-S. Wine. Yeah. You can watch 24-Hour War, Shelby, on Netflix if you want.
Yeah.
So, until next time, it's Adam Kroll from Matt, the Motorator, DeAndrea, saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.